Slowly but surely, but we will not make you wait. So let's go ahead and start. First of all, thank you all for joining. This is a continuation and yet another of our town halls for the investors in the NRIA or National Realty Investment Advisors case. This is, of course, the second, I believe, of the town halls under the liquidation trust. As you may recall, in August of 2023, the bankruptcy court confirmed the plan of liquidation for NRIA and its affiliate entities, appointing AIRN Liquidation Trust Co. LLC as the liquidation trustee. Matthew Ward of that entity is on the call today as representative of the trustee. We also have Rick Budd, who is representative as CEO of the management company, managing the real estate and other aspects of the liquidation trust real estate portfolio. We also have Tommy Fierro for AIRN Management Co. on as well. He's been assisting in terms of managing funds and financial affairs of the Management Co. Also on the call is Andrea Gonzalez and Bill Waldy of Alvarez and Marcel, who've been financial advisors, as you know, to the liquidation trust, but prior to that, financial advisors to the committee, which we, on behalf of Ice Miller, have been representing before and now the liquidation trust. So I am Louis DeLucia of Ice Miller. I think I'm the only one on the call today from Ice Miller. So if I missed anyone, please let me know, but I think that's it. Those are the introductions. Obviously, you know, for those of you who participated in the past, you know the process. We have asked folks to register, but people have registered, and we have submitted questions into a form. Those questions have been culled and reviewed, and we are going to answer as best we can most of those questions. But some of the presentation will, of course, answer those questions as well. So the agenda for today, we'll include a real estate update, which will be in part provided by Rick Budd, summarizing where we are in terms of the real estate development and sales, a litigation update that will be provided by myself on behalf of Ice Miller, as well as to some degree Alvarez and Marcel. Tax questions will be addressed to the best of the ability of and the appropriateness by Tommy Fierro and others on the K-1 status. There'll be a very brief discussion on claims reconciliation. We'll, of course, give you an idea of what we see in terms of distribution timing, because that is a key question everyone's been asking, and it's an appropriate one, a completely appropriate one. We'll address whatever open questions that remain, and then we'll talk about the next meeting, which I believe is February 14th, 2024. So let's start off with the real property update. I would turn that over for the moment to Rick Budd. Rick, I can't hear you. I think you're on mute. Can't hear you yet. Chrissy, does he need to be unmuted? Do you know?
Better?
Yep, gotcha.
Okay. Sorry about that. We do better, hopefully, with real estate than we do with technology.
No worries.
But anyway, thanks, everybody, for joining this evening. I'll just give you a brief update on where we are and hopefully where we're going. So subsequent to the formation of the trust, we have sold about $22 million worth of assets. And closed $22 million worth of assets, right, which is more important. The market continues to be challenging in all areas, whether it's, you know, here in the Northeast, Florida, Philadelphia. There's the interest rates. If there's one thing you want to keep in mind as you're looking at the industry and what impacts us and all of you are our interest rates. They started to come down a bit. Construction financing is still scarce. Right? Banks are still a little hesitant to get involved, but we've been able to manage to navigate through a number of parcels here, and we have some other contracts that we're looking forward closing in Q1, you know, next year. So some things, our large project 4901 Bergen Line in West New York, which came on this summer, we're about 94% leased now in the apartments. So we're really pleased with that activity. That project is not up for sale yet because it's very interest rate sensitive. It's cash flow positive, and we're going to wait and see where the market is next year. I think most people believe that the rates will be coming down next year, that should create a more favorable environment for us. We're continued to build out the other project in West New York, the large project called The Grand on 51st Street. That will come in early. That should be finished and ready to occupy in August of 24. So we're pleased that that's coming in ahead of schedule. That's bigger than 4901. So we think the market is there for the leases, and we'll see how the market is for potential sales. Again, very interest rate sensitive, but that's where we are. We are seeing some traction as we slug through, we'll look forward to giving you better news for the next update in February. Thanks, Lewis.
You bet. I think that there is some litigation surrounding some of the real estate. So there is a connection between the real estate and litigation. So there is progress on all of the real estate fronts. I think we're doing better than anticipated, which is great. And thanks to Rick and the team there and the trustee for that. So there's good progress on the real estate side. In terms of the litigation related to the real estate, I can tell you, because it does respond to some of the questions regarding the secured creditors as well. So we have litigation pending against S3, which you may recall is a secured lender against two of the properties, the Bergen Line and the Manhattan Avenue properties. They assert liens in excess of $30 million. We have made, I think, progress. They made a motion to dismiss that litigation against them. To refresh your recollection, that litigation was in part focused on challenging the liens by S3 against that property and seeking to recover from S3, the lender, certain of the payments and interest rights that they have to interest on their loans. That litigation, they sought to dismiss it by making a motion to dismiss, and virtually all the counts, if not 99% of the counts that we sought against them, we believe the judge will allow to continue. The order, we're still waiting for the order, but from the bench, the judge basically said everything seems like it would be staying in place and litigation would continue against S3. So hopefully we'll be making progress with S3 in connection with their loan and the properties. We also have discovery out. This is the litigation, by the way, update, but I'm transitioning the real estate through the litigation. Is against Torac. We have some, that's another lender on one of the properties. We have some discovery out to them to examine the validity of their lien. Just so you know, if we are successful with S3, we would anticipate a potential saving of the to the estate of in the millions. So that would hopefully benefit materially investors. So that is ongoing. Same with Torac. But we have a number of very material litigations ongoing and targets that we're focusing on. You know about some of them. Let me give you more active updates, and then I'll get into the bigger picture. We recently sued and successfully were able to freeze millions in funds diverted, we believe, in a litigation commenced by the trustee against Media Effective. Media Effective was one of the advertising companies that worked for NRIA, received in excess of $32 to $36 million. We identified a pool of funds held at Charles Schwab, over $4.5 million. We saw and when we received information and discovery That showed the movement of $1 million out of one of those accounts. We immediately went in and obtained an order of the bankruptcy court freezing those funds, as well as the funds of all of the principals of media effective, such as Javier Torres, as well as the funds of family members who received cash from that, as well as funds he donated to various churches. So we're able to obtain an injunction and freeze on those accounts. That was a successful outcome. We're waiting next for the next round, which is some deposition, some discovery, and then ultimately we would hope a recovery for the investors from that litigation. As to USC, going back to US construction and the real estate connection here, we've also commenced litigation against, we, as you know, we're commencing and thinking of litigation soon to be filed against US construction. There is pending lawsuits against them, but our amended litigation will be expanded. We did have success recently within the last period. They had filed a $4+ million mechanics lien against the properties down in Florida, the ODR Ocean Del Rey properties, and that's the right by sea, rights by the sea property. And in that litigation, in that motion, we challenged their $4+ million mechanics lien and successfully obtained an accounting, which is quite frankly inadequate, but we're going to be pursuing that. And we're able to readjust their lien from $4 million down to $2 million and change, and escrow that cash so that the proceeds of the sales that Rick mentioned, such as sales of property down in ODR, could proceed without the USC liens on it. That has been successful. In addition to that, the remaining $2 million they assert is also being examined, and we believe that there are valid challenges to the remaining $2 million of USC's alleged mechanics liens on property. So we're exploring that as well. That is continuing. The more substantial litigation against USC, which is contemplated, will be filed in December. So keep your eyes open for that. Look for a very substantial complaint against them. It will include allegations that they are involved in the securities fraud. There are depositions next week of individuals who we believe are potentially responsible to the estate for potential exposure. Those depositions are going to be held next week in our offices in New York. I don't want to give too much information because some folks who are listening are actually involved in that. We've actually gone through the attendee list and know who's listening. Insider promoters is another group of people that we'll be looking at. Insider promoters are individuals who benefited from the sales. We have complaints being drafted right now against them for the recovery of funds to the extent that insiders within the company promoted the stock and obtained compensation for it. Advertisers as well are being pursued. We'll be pursuing a litigation probably filed within the next week against two other major components. We will likely be suing parties involved, and I'm not going to give their names out till the complaint is filed, with the EB-5 transactions, as well as professionals who've been involved in providing financial and other advice to the companies during and before the bankruptcy, I should say. And those complaints are done. We're just tweaking them. We hope to get the trustees' approval, and then we'll be filing those complaints in short order as well. Obviously, many banks we have identified. We are in discussions with some banks, and those discussions are for purposes of coming to a resolution. We hope to see something happen there. We don't know what that will happen, if that will happen, but we'll see. Again, the reason why we're cautious about some of this information is that it is litigation and litigation related, and we have to be careful not to say anything that would be inappropriate. We'll be targeting, as I said, marketing companies, individuals who did the reputation cleaning for Salzano on the Norvergence issues and clearing out his misrepresentations regarding his prior activity. There is, just to keep you abreast, a trial of Nicholas Salzano for criminal actions by the U.S. Department of Justice on March 5th, 2024, in the District of New Jersey. We have spoken with the U.S. DOJ about that, as well as witnesses who will be testifying. So we are coordinating to some degree. If they have witnesses that they are be teeing up, we're we're staying away from those witnesses so as to not interfere with the Department of Justice activity. And so if you may see less activity than you'd expect against certain individuals, it could be for that, but that's what's going on. Other individuals who, you know, we intend to target, obviously recipients of fraudulent conveyances. We had a call this morning, well over 2 hours, that went through the fraudulent conveyance pockets that we'll be pursuing, claims of funds that were diverted to individuals like Olena Budinska, others like Bethany Salzano and others who may have received substantial funds from the estate that were diverted. So that litigation will pick up materially over the next quarter. So keep your eyes open for additional litigation, possibly some settlements, and we'll see. But that's a very quick overview, but I'll ask if Alvarez, if Bill or Andrea wish to supplement, or the trustee.
No, Louis, I think you covered everything.
Okay. Next, I think we turn to questions that were posed on the taxes just very quickly. I think that we could cover that quickly. The questions principally relate to K-1s and the need for corrected K-1s. So I'll turn that to Tommy Fierro.
Thanks, Louis. Hi, everyone. Tommy Fierro here. Just a quick update on the tax questions and overall status as it relates to taxes. So we've been reviewing the incoming questions and other feedback from you guys over the past several weeks and months, as well as those that are popping up now in the chat room. Just want to let everyone know that we are wrapping up on those adjustments, hopefully by the end of this week. That's going to include any address changes where individuals have been reaching out and saying they haven't been receiving their K-1 via the mail. Those are all being updated. Those of you who have made comments saying, I received the K-1 in my name personally, but I also should have had a K-1 with my IRA, et cetera. Those are being addressed. And that being said, the 2021 and 2022 amendments should be completed by our tax firm near the end of next month, January 2024, and then will be distributed shortly thereafter. We'll post another update on Omni, letting everyone know that they'll be available if you email us at the info@nria.net address. And everyone will be receiving a paper copy at some point in, early to mid-February, depending on the timing of the Postal Service. With respect to 2023, there are going to be two separate K-1s, the pre-bankruptcy period through the confirmation date of August 25th, 2023, will be reflected on a short year return. And that's going to be due on May 15th of 2024. And again, that'll be available for distribution shortly thereafter in the same fashion. The post-bankruptcy period captured by the trust through year end 2023 will be reflected on a K-1 from the trust that's due October 1st, 2024. So the dates are a little bit different this year, given there being a short year conversion and a trust as opposed to a general partnership. Those trust K-1s will be provided yearly, again, around October 1st of the subsequent year, every year through the end of the case. And that's all I got in my end, Louis.
All right, thanks, Tommy. There may be some questions that populate within the, I know you might have perused those, but just in case.
Yeah, I'll go back and I'll address those as I see them come in now.
Terrific. Thank you.
You got it.
So the claims reconciliation process, this is a process, just so you understand, there's at least several buckets of that. I'll let Andrea briefly address that. But for purposes of addressing the claims reconciliation process, what that means is there were many, many claims filed by many, many individuals. This trust has to go through the claims, even though the process of the consenting investor voting helped us clean that up to some degree. We still need to go through those claims that were filed on the docket with Omni or otherwise and knock out or eliminate the duplicative claims, et cetera. There are going to be a number of motions you will see. Your name may be on them. Take a look at them. We'll set up a process. You can ask some questions. If you want to seek your own counsel, you should. that may clean up some of the duplicative claims filed by you or others. Don't be alarmed, unless we're challenging your claim completely, there may be some questions, some points where the sole purpose of the objection is to eliminate duplicative or inappropriately filed claims that perhaps otherwise are going to be allowed against the debtors in another fashion. But Andrea, I don't know if you want to fill in.
Thank you, Lewis. So there are roughly 6,000 claims that were filed. So there is a significant population that requires review. It's not only by investors that filed claims, there's priority claims or secured claims. So we are reviewing them in the order of priority. So starting with the priority and secured claims, just so we could understand the pool after reducing for the duplicates that Lewis mentioned. So we'll be continuing to do that reconciliation. When I cite reconciliation, we are reviewing the claims support that was filed by those parties, analyzing it, comparing it to the debtor's books and records, and then we'll be analyzing it with Ice Miller and ARIN to facilitate the claim process. But the process is ongoing. It will take a decent amount of time to get through all of those 6,000 after even considering the duplicates and removing those. So in process overall, and we'll provide further updates as we progress. Thanks, Lewis. Lewis, you're on mute.
Thanks. So the reason why claims reconciliation is before we discuss distributions, which has been a hot topic for obvious reasons for questions, is because several things have to occur before distributions can be made. One is that distributions have to be made against a defined and recognized and allowed claim body. So we need to know who the real claimants are, what the number of claimants is, and what the amount of those claims is. So the, as I mentioned, when the ballots came in and you agreed, those who voted in favor of the plan and agreed to be contributing investors, those who voted and agreed to their claim helped us by narrowing and limiting the amount of time it's going to take to clean up those claims. But there are many, many, as Andrea mentioned, claims that we have to go through and cleanups, duplicative or otherwise, fraudulent or otherwise, and get them knocked out before we know who and what the claim body is. Second aspect of it is we need to know that there is unencumbered cash or cash available with which that we can make payments. The biggest impediment to that right now is the USC, US construction claim for roughly $52 million. That was filed in the case as an unsecured claim, which under the plan is senior to all unsecured, to all investor claims for purposes of the waterfall of payments. So they would be paid first, but we're not going to pay them until the litigation with them and their $52 million claim is resolved or at least treated as zero so that we can pay investors their claims. So we are in the process, as I mentioned, of doing the USC complaint. We anticipate in short order addressing US Construction's $52 million claim as part of that process. And we hope to knock out that claim so that we can get distributions going. So all the questions regarding distributions, the answer is we're working on it as fast and hard as we can. All the professionals, the liquidation trustee, everybody. There's two or three driving forces here, right? One is getting the maximum amount of cash, which we're trying to get. You know, we don't need to get all the cash in before a distribution is made, but we certainly need to know who we have to make those distributions to. So that's the investor body and the claims reconciliation process. We need to know that we can do so without claimants coming ahead who we don't feel should be entitled to a distribution at this point. And that includes, for example, claimants like US Construction. So we anticipate bringing that action in short order. So that's where we are. It is uncertain. We would anticipate hopefully some progress in getting distributions started in 2024. But when that is, I don't know, but we certainly are going to do everything we can legally and ethically to get that going as soon as we can. So now we're going to turn to questions and we'll go from there. First, the written questions that we had submitted prior to this, and then we'll go to the portal. I should say the chat area. So first question is, please provide an update on the recovery of money via litigation and settlements. as I mentioned, that is, I gave a summary right now as to what we have ongoing and what we've been able to reduce in terms of claims by others and what we anticipate hopefully recovering in the near future. But the litigation against the parties in this case that we've been identifying are claims for the entire investor pools. We're going to be seeking a full recovery, not necessarily going to get one, but we're going to ask for a claims and damages for the full amount of loss for investors. But we don't have that money yet, of course. What are the current and estimated assets to be recovered through real estate development and sale, as well as litigation recovery? That was described in the disclosure statement. There's an estimate of real estate values there. The market, of course, changes, as was stated by Rick, and of course, what actual sales get consummated is a moving target. But we are doing well against the projections that are reflected in the disclosure statement. So I would not think that there's going to be, at this point right now, we don't know what the future holds, a material deviation from those projections. So take a look at what's in the disclosure statement for those numbers. They're there. Is there a document that lists the target amount and timing of all real estate dispositions? As I mentioned, that's where it is. It's in the disclosure statement. We don't have a document. We certainly could create one, but I think it would be such a additional task of constantly updating that it may be fruitless or expensive. But is there a document that tracks progress? Clearly, internally, it is done. It's internally done for purposes of tracking sales, for tracking rental income, for tracking interested parties in the real estate, but we don't think it's necessarily a good idea to put that in the public forum for obvious reasons. I talked about the first payment and when those payments could come. I talked about distributions. One question is, do you still believe 100% will be recovered? I don't think we ever thought for sure that 100% recovered. Our objective is 100% recovery, of course, but that doesn't mean we'll get it. We're going to try everything we can to get it. The current real estate projection, as you saw in the disclosure statement, is 25 to 35%. We anticipate litigation supplementing that with additional recoveries. But of course, the guaranteed percentage is uncertain at this point. Describe the effect on the majority of people who accepted the plan due to some not accepting the plan. That is, more money to distribute to acceptors. Those who rejected the plan, I mean, it depends upon if you're an excluded party or not. Excluded parties, who are those who might have rejected the plan and opted out of the settlement, may not necessarily get those distributions. But the effect is that essentially all those who accepted the plan will be treated equally as claimants within the class and will receive pro rata shares of the distribution. We are still vetting who will definitely be excluded and not be entitled to distributions. That's part of the claims reconciliation process, as well as part of the process of going through the excluded parties. On the issue of changing your address or collecting email addresses and bank account information for each creditor, Omni has the ability to, I think Omni is, we'll have to get back to you on the process at Omni for reconciling your address with Omni. I believe you can email Omni and have them do it online for you there, but we'll confirm that. Okay, now let's go to the questions in the sign. Okay, will we get a partial payout before all real estate and litigation settles? Potentially. I think that is to be determined based upon when the litigation with U.S. construction makes sufficient progress that we're able to get that $52 million claim adjudicated, and whether or not we get through the process sufficiently quickly, we hope, in the claims reconciliation so that we know who gets distributions and who doesn't. So the answer is possibly. And I think, just so it's clear, we absolutely, and I'm speaking for the trustee here, I'm speaking for Rick, I'm speaking for Alvarez, and this is unquestionably our priority, to get you distributions, but there's an enormous amount of work, so we're doing everything we can to get there. It's like I mentioned, there's a number of hurdles that have to be overcome, but then we would hope once those are overcome, we can start the flow of distributions. Passing through the K1 questions. Any development on this officially being a Ponzi quote RICO? We know that just we pointed out before that the allegations by the SEC and DOJ, Department of Justice, have clearly stated that they believe this to be a Ponzi scheme, and that's in their complaint. We anticipate, you may recall from the docket that we had filed a motion, what we call the Ponzi scheme motion, but we withdrew it because it would have mired and delayed and potentially caused a delay in the confirmation of the plan, which would have gotten us further delayed in getting a distribution to you. So in order to not do that, we pulled it from the docket with the strategic objective of refiling it in the appropriate case. We anticipate doing that, and that would allow the judge to adjudicate, meaning the specific litigation. Maybe it's the USC litigation, maybe it's the S3 litigation. We haven't decided, but we'll file that motion and seek a court adjudication of a Ponzi scheme. It will be probably, like I mentioned, within those litigations. By the way, there were questions to Michael. Michael is not on this call. He is on paternity leave, so we apologize for that. But there are questions about a discrepancy on your claim. We have your question, and we will.
Louis, I'm responding via email to that question right now. Yep.
Very good. Thank you.
You got it.
You originally estimated 25 to 35% recovery. Does this hold? Could it be more given some of the success in litigation? We anticipate it being more. The 25 to 35% is the estimated recovery from real estate. We're hoping even that does better, but you know, we're hoping. It's not fully sold, developed, et cetera yet, but we're hoping it does, and we do anticipate a greater recovery. The percentage, we don't know, but our goal is to go for 100% plus, you know, and the way we do that is, for example, if we bring a RICO claim under New Jersey RICO against certain defendants, we're going to ask for treble damages. That's three times the damages. We may bring claims under the New Jersey Consumer Fraud Act, which gives us the rights to not only treble damages as well, but also attorney's fees recovery. So the answer is yes, we're going for 100 cents plus, but no guarantees as in any litigation, until we have a recovery. There were almost daily ads on Bloomberg Radio for years. Will the advertising costs paid by NRA to Bloomberg be clawed back? The answer is, as I mentioned, one of the pools of recovery are the advertisers. That includes what we anticipate is claims we're considering bringing, and I'm being cautious in the words I'm using, against entities like Bloomberg, like iHeartRadio, like Sirius XM Radio, like others. And so these are people who have already been identified as potential people to look at. And they've all already received subpoenas, by the way, from us. Have the bad actors been incarcerated? Have dates been established for legal proceedings against the individuals? I answered that in part. Some of them have been, so for example, Nick Salzano, was arrested. He's been out on, you know, I guess it's limited, you know, release. His trial is in March. I don't know that anything has successfully been able to reach Grabato yet in terms of the criminal proceedings. But that is something we would not know anyway from the federal authorities, but we are in communication with them. I'm not going to be able to speak more about that. There's more information we have about it, but the bad actors will all be sued by us in the near term. Just so you know, the bad actors who were sued in a federal court litigation pre-bankruptcy, not only by us, by certain investors, but also by the SEC, both of those actions were stayed by the Department of Justice because of the Department of Justice criminal proceeding. So an immediate action now against some of those individuals would be fruitless until the Salzano trial is at least over, which starts in March, because of the likelihood that the DOJ would stay us anyway because of the criminal actions. Okay, we've talked about distributions, we talked about mailing address. If we agree with our claim on the final document, do we expect you to challenge it as well? If you agreed with the claim on your ballot, no, you will not be challenged. If we agree with our claim on the final document, do we, oh, we're answer, just answer that. Okay, answer that one. Okay, why are we still cleaning up duplicative claims? It has almost been an entire year since claims deadline. That's simple. Until the plan was confirmed, this trust and trustee had no authority to clean up the claims, nor, for example, was it necessarily appropriate until the ballots in the case were cast and those who decided to agree to their numbers in August of 2023 for purposes of balloting helped us by agreeing to a number, thereby eliminating the need to do all that cleanup as to all these investors, well over 1300 investors. So in other words, had we done all that work beforehand, we would have wasted a lot of time because we now have a body of claimants who agreed with their number. So there's a whole bunch of investors we don't have to worry about, a whole bunch of claims we don't have to review, and or we don't have to adjust. We'll have to adjust the others, but now we know the world of what we have to clean up, if that makes sense to you. So that's why it wasn't done. It's complicated. There's a bankruptcy process, but it is the process. The reason for the claims, to answer the question about the plan process meant to expedite the lengthy claims, it does, and it is going to shorten it. Does it obviate it? No, because if, like you heard from Andrea, more than 4,000 claimants filed in excess of what the true claim body is, then clearly we need to do something to clean that up. Before we can do that, we can't control what people file. We can control the process by which we're able to streamline it, which is what we did, and it does help it, but it we still have to clean that up. K1s we've talked about, address changes we talked about, realistic percentage, I've talked about that. We don't know for sure, but we do hope for a substantial recovery here, of course. Okay, why not just object to USC's 50, why include, okay, for the question, but why not just object to USC's $52 million claim, why include with your complaint? Okay, objecting to the $52 million claim is not necessarily just an easy end around a complaint. An objection to a claim is what's called a contested matter in bankruptcy. A contested matter entitles the parties to all of the civil rules of procedure, including discovery, and it becomes like a litigation. In addition to that, shortly after the bankruptcy was filed, without the committee's input, the debtors filed a complaint against USC that included certain counts that included related to their contracts with the debtors, which could be subsumed within their claim. So there's already a pending adversary proceeding regarding their claims. So in other words, we're already in litigation. What was filed though is far less than what we now know about their conduct, what we now know about the claims that may exist against them. So we're not just going to knock out their claim. We're hoping to bring substantial claims to bring assets into this estate. I said it at confirmation in the public record, and that is, or at least one of the hearings I remember, may not have been confirmation. We intend to sue U.S. Construction for every asset they have, just so that's clear. The disclosure statement is on the docket. So if you, I don't have the docket number for you, I could get that. But if you want to email me personally, feel free to do so, and I will get you that document number. It's on, if you go onto Omni and you go under, documents, I believe you'll see plan and disclosure statement, and it'll be right there on the Omni webpage. Just going to skip those we've answered. When and how can we determine, can we get determination as to the value of our IRA accounts with NRA to provide to IRA? I'm not sure that's too specific of a question regarding your particular accounts and your treatment. We would want to, obviously you would need to speak to your advisor and also tax advisor and also we would need more information to be able to answer that kind of question. Okay, this one, okay, someone said I skipped it, so apologies. Von Wynn Capital offered me a buyout of the NRA settlement expected to come, approximately 18% of the total investment. Curious as to how they could anticipate a settlement amount. Well, our disclosure statement says 25 to 35% distribution, right, as a guesstimate. These people in this business buy claims at a discount. So if they anticipate you're going to get 25 to 35 cents, maybe even 50 cents, 75%, who knows what you'll get, hopefully more. Obviously, again, to restate it, we're shooting for 100 cents. If they get you to take 18% now, then they are hedging the upside, right? So if we get 25 cents on the dollar, they just got themselves an upside on their 18% investment. So it's really just hedging. It's not anything special or magical. They do look at the case, they do listen to it. Some of these people of these organizations are comprised of prior bankruptcy lawyers who just get into the investment world and buy and sell these claims. It's called claims trading. It's an industry, and that's what they do. Okay, if you do get treble damages, who would actually be paying? Sozano won't likely have that type of money. No, but you can get treble damages against not just the individuals. So we know Sozano and others may have, for example, hidden, diverted, put funds in other locations. But what we're doing here is that you have Sozano, Grabato, O'Brien, and others who all worked at the top of that hill, right? Managing this enterprise, and that's what it's called. The enterprise is comprised of aiders and abettors, people who assisted, people who profited, people who facilitated the fraud. Those people are all part of the organization run by these individuals to maximize, to do their fraud, to consummate the transaction. So you have entities out there who did construction work and got payments that were inappropriate. You have people out there who were selling you investments and received commissions that were inappropriate on these distributions. There are all these other people and entities, financial institutions, professionals, including firms, that were facilitating this transaction or aiding the transaction. Those people could be within the enterprise. All parties within the enterprise can be sued for treble damages. So it may not be just Sozano, Grabato, O'Brien, Scatura, or others who may be at the top of the heap. It could be all those who aided and abetted within the enterprise. So all of those entities could be, like I said, entities that are well-heeled. So the answer is we're aware of that. And we would hope to get treble damages against those who have the capacity to pay, if we can. Quite frankly, I'm sure that if we got to a point where the compromise was, we're not going to get treble damages, we're going to get 100 cents and maybe a bit of a return, I don't think anybody here would be complaining terribly. So we'll do everything we can, though, to get the best recovery we can. Okay. How many years before we get anything back? The goal is to start, and again, if we can't, but the goal is to do the best we can to start initial distributions as soon as we can. Final distributions could take years, only because sometimes, depending upon how hard people fight, it could take a while. Are there schemes by which we might be able to structure something that gets a sooner distribution? If we can find a way, we will. What I mean by that is if there are settlements or compromises or ways by which we can get a resolution that accelerates distribution, we can, but we'll also do that in the context of any of the litigations that we have ongoing. TD Bank is a question. We're not going to discuss specific targets on this call right now. Omnisite under documents, plan and disclosure statement. Right, that's where they are. I'm just skipping questions that have been answered. That one. Those are the questions, unless I'm missing. Is there any federal bailout money or other sort of money, funds, or coverage, et cetera, to cover the balance of the bankruptcy funds not recovered? There could be. I don't know. Not federal bailout, not funds granted by the government. If you mean, could the federal government obtain restitution orders from bad actors, whether it's the New Jersey Bureau of Securities or the SEC or DOJ, possibly. But again, they're targeting Salzano, Gravato, and others who, as we've indicated, are not going to be the wealthiest. The SEC added Olena Badinska, Jamul Samuel, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Salzano's prior wife, as relief defendants, meaning people they believe may have received diverted funds. Those individuals may be recoveries that we pursue as well. But the point there is we don't know whether or not the government will be successful in obtaining any type of restitution or other order. So is there responsibility? Oh, I skipped. If we can claim, I skipped the question about if we can claim this as a Ponzi scheme. Previously, it was stated as yes, now not yet. No, I didn't say not yet. What I'm saying is you have to speak to your financial advisor, your tax advisor for any decision as to whether or not you can appropriately declare this as a Ponzi scheme for those, for individual tax purposes. We know that Salzano was arrested. We know there was a bankruptcy filing. We know that the allegations of Ponzi schemes are there. So from my personal perspective, I would feel comfortable declaring a Ponzi loss, but that is for your personal tax advisor to advise. What are the file dates of indictments to date? I'm not sure I understand that, the file dates of indictments. The indictments that exist, I think, so far are only as to, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's right, of Scutaro, who has pled, and Salzano, who has been arrested and subject to trial. Bill, is that correct? I think you know, probably
been indicted. Gravato's been indicted in Salzano, and it's an information because Scutaro pled guilty, so he's just awaiting sentencing.
Right. Thank you. Is there responsibility of attorneys to let us know that we can file rev? We were told we could during prior meetings. Is that not true? I just answered that for you. Is the answer is speak to your attorneys, your personal tax advisors. But like I mentioned, I think there's a legitimate basis, certainly now to assert the Ponzi scheme deduction, but that's your personal tax advisor to give you that advice. That's all the questions that I see here. So with that, anything that you folks would like to supplement, Rick or Matthew or A&M or Tommy?
I had just a few observations as I was listening to the town hall. One thing with respect to the real estate, I know Rick talked about the Bergen Line 4901 property. And although that is rented up, leased up, it's not going to sell now because of the sensitivity in the marketplace regarding interest rates. And I would just point out that back in February during the town hall meeting, some of the investors asked us if we would consider holding properties that are leased up that are at a break-even cash flow standpoint, given market sensitivities. And I think just the fact that we're doing that with respect to Bergen Line 4901 shows that we really are considering all options to maximize value. We're not just on a one-track mind to sell properties, even if it wouldn't maximize value. We're doing whatever we can to maximize value in as many different ways as possible. That's our goal here, is to get as much money in and as much money back to the people on this call as is possible. With respect to the claim against Bloomberg that somebody asked about, again, we're not going to get into specifics about individual defendants, but I will say, and it's public information, that we sued Media Effective, which was one of the biggest promoters and advertisers out there, received millions of dollars, over $10 million in connection with advertising, which also just goes to show we're pursuing everybody against which we have a plausible and legitimate claim, to the extent that they participated in this fraud in a number of different capacities, including the advertisers. And then just the last observation is with respect to cash and distributions, you know, I understand and everybody on this call understands that distributions are of the utmost importance to all investors, but I would respectfully ask the investors to please understand that we also are sitting on large parcels of real estate and projects that are the completion of which is in its infancy. And some of those have debt on them, and we need money to service that debt. So yes, it's not just about reconciling claims and objecting to claims and pursuing litigation, but it's also about debt service with respect to some of those properties. And so if we were to spit all of the money out to investors through distributions, we wouldn't be able to carry the debt service on the crown jewels of the portfolio, at least one of which, you know, is far from completion. So probably a year left till that property is completed. Now, that's not to say that we won't make distributions, and, you know, for the next year, maybe we will, maybe we won't, but we need to preserve cash to make the debt service payments as well. So I just throw that out there because I didn't hear that mention. Thank you, Lewis, for your help on this.
No, thank you. Anything further, folks?
Yeah, Lewis, I do have one just as it relates to the Ponzi scheme questions, because we are still continuing to receive more on those. It was discussed on the last town hall, I guess that would be 2 months ago, when we had our representative from the tax firm, that the amounts listed on line 13W, other deductions on your K-1s, should be reported on form 4684, line 20. However, that's as far as we can go in terms of providing information and any other supporting information that you know, your tax advisor would feel necessary to include to supplement, as far as submitting documents to the IRS, would have to be at the discretion of your personal tax advisor.
Thanks, Tommy.
Yep.
Thanks for the information. I think that's helpful. I think, let me just address some of the additional new points. There's information being shared in the comment section that might be helpful to us in the investigation. One of which says, our sales reps from NRA being sued, like I mentioned, what we're calling insider promoters, those are the sales reps, are being investigated / likely targeted for a complaint in the short term. But Usid Mind specifically responded to my question of it possibly being a Ponzi scheme. I have a response email. That'd be great if you could send that to us. If you have information that you believe might be helpful to this investigation, to the recovery of investors that you obtained from NRIA through, you know, as an investor, feel free to send that information to my email, and we will go through it and we will look at it. If it's helpful, like an information regarding a statement, I suspect what you probably received is a statement that was prepared by Salzano that states that this isn't a Ponzi scheme. We were operating a legitimate real estate business. No Ponzi scheme has real estate business in its portfolio. That was a standard response we saw in the data, but we don't know if it's the same thing you received. But if that's what you received, it was crafted as a script by Salzano. So anyway, please share what you have. I think one mention here is of the Dallas Advertisers. I'm not sure who you're specifically referring to. So if you have information about that, email me. We do have a number of advertisers identified, but we don't know if we have the ones you're referring to. So that would be helpful to know. So if you have helpful information on the investigation and you think it could help, don't hesitate. We're here to help you. All right, with that, thank you so very much. We kept it to exactly an hour, and we really appreciate it. Hopefully this was helpful, and we'll keep you posted going forward. So thank you all. Good night.